Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome to Wildcast Studios for another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats, presented by Alpha's Appliance Solution. Right now, the Whirlpool Saver, the savings event. Save $150 when you purchase any two qualifying Whirlpool major kitchen appliances from now till March 27th. As always, Adam, I finally got through that. I'm your host, Adam, and I am joined by your favorite co-hoster and Big Brother Canada aficionado, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. We missed it last week. I guess, how was episode one?
No complaints. Smart cast. Yeah. I think there was only 10, 4, 8, 12, 12 of them that kind of get introduced.
Okay.
And once they all got in the house, they noticed that there was still two champagne glasses on the table, so they knew two more were coming in.
Right, I'm looking at that right now, and yep. I see 9, 10. Yeah, there's two people missing.
Yes. Oh. So there is, maybe I'm miscounting.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. There's 14.
There's 14. Okay, so there was 12 champagne glasses. Yeah, yeah, so that, I was right.
Okay.
So they did 12 introductions for three sets of four, and then once they all got in the house, they realized there was still two champagne glasses on the table. So like, oh, there must be a couple more coming in. And some of the smart players are like, oh, maybe they're bringing back two All-Stars. And that's what they did. So they brought back Anthony Douglas from a previous season and Spicy V from another one of the previous seasons. So they're in the house. The catch was, there was a competition for the 12, and as you were eliminated, like if you were the first eliminated, you were ranked 12th all the way up to first. So the way it worked was Anthony and Spicy V were leaders of their own entourage, and as you were, if you were the first one off, you got to pick last, but basically you got to pick either Anthony or Victoria to be the leader of your entourage. And then Anthony and Victoria were the only two to compete in an HOH competition. Whoever won the HOH, well, their entourage were all safe.
So it's like houses inside the house.
Pretty much, but I think okay. It's only for the first week.
All right.
So Anthony won the head of household. So we had to nominate two people from Victoria's entourage.
Two people?
Yeah. So there's...
Do you know who's been eliminated yet?
No one's been eliminated yet. Okay. I believe the elimination is Tuesday night, so by the time this comes out, there'll be an eviction ceremony. And so we got, I believe it's Janine and Avery are on the block this week.
Okay, that's not who I was picking. I had success 2 years ago picking the winner in season 10. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't watch this for anybody new to the show. First of all, where you've been in the past 7 years. Welcome. And so I don't watch any Big Brothers. I haven't watched US or Canada. So I literally just pick names based off the pictures. And so it was Janine and who else?
And Avery.
And Avery.
Who are on the nomination block. But there hasn't been a power veto ceremony, so I don't know if those are still the nominees. But that's all I can tell you up to now.
Well, I picked a guy last time, so I'm going to go with a girl this time. And I'm going to go with... as you let us know before the show started, one of the Halifax girls. I'm going to go with Bailey Pelham.
There you go.
Which house is she in?
Oh, I forget who she's with. But it's okay. Typical Big Brother. There's an all-girls alliance already. Yeah. Oh, that didn't take very long. they literally were like, oh, we got to get a woman's going to win this season.
Yeah.
So that was an all-girls alliance was right from the get-go. I'm also going to stay local. Yeah. I'm going to go with Vivek. Out of St. John, his parents actually own one of the hotels in town in St. John.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I'll stay local and go with Vivek because he's kind of developing a good chemistry with Anthony,
right?
One of the All-Stars. So I think that's a good person to side with as you get further into the game.
And who else is who's our local connections? We got Bailey. Vivek.
We got Bailey. We got Vivek, and Donna Marshall is from Hubbard's, Nova Scotia.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Other than that, how was your week?
Very good.
Yeah,
very good. Weekend was long. Made a trip to...
Is that with the time change or just in general?
Oh, the time change was awful.
Can we just, like, Saskatchewan doesn't get a lot right.
Yeah.
But they got this right, and this comes from an Albertan.
Mm-hmm.
They got that right. I mean, I...
Eliminate it.
I don't like to tell people that right now with the political situation out there, but... Yeah, they don't have time change at all. Never have. It's 2024. Let's just... I think I saw someone like on Twitter. They were like, maybe it was you. I don't care what political platform.
That was me.
Yeah. I'm going to vote for whoever gets rid of time change. Yeah absolutely. So
I also said I will tweet my social insurance number if Cole Eisenman signs with the Wildcats.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I saw that and I was like, yeah. No, you were you're bang on. But you had a long weekend.
Kind of. It was a working weekend.
Yeah.
I was, I made the drive down to St. John on Saturday, did some work there at their home show. Yeah, that was a very, very long day. You know, you're on the road at 7:30 and didn't get back to Moncton until after 9 o'clock. I actually pulled into my driveway as Forte Gendron was scoring in overtime.
Nice.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well, very, very shortly. But yeah, that was basically my Saturday was, you know, 14 hours of being on the road and working.
Yeah. I had quite a up and down week depending on what sport I decided to follow on said Twitter. It started out really well with one GM who knows how to build a team and Jason Light down in Tampa.
Mm.
And it ended with one who isn't quite sure what the hell all in means when you've got the two best players in the world and he adds Adam Henrique, Carrick, and a seventh defenseman.
Mm.
His final trade of his Hall of Fame tenure, and for those who don't know, it's overrated Ken Holland, who can't build a team with a salary cap. His final trade was Troy Stetcher, and it was the most Holland thing ever. We're going to go all in, but instead of going for actual players, I'm going to get a third-line center, a fourth-line AHL guy, and a seventh defenseman.
Well, maybe he thinks all they need is depth positions.
Yeah. Maybe
that's how you win championships. You know, some of these trades are
but you also don't win it with Janmark doing sweet jack all and Cody Ceci as a negative. And I don't want to get into it, but yeah,
come on, man. You know, some of these analytics guys don't believe in
they're ruining sports. Analytics is ruining sports. It has a place in sports, but it shouldn't be the be all end all of sports. And I think I talked about this last year with the Blue Jays. In the playoffs where it said you had to take him out at that point. Like, analytics is ruining sports. It is.
Foolish.
Speaking of the Blue Jays, how do you feel on this season coming in?
I mean, not very confident.
And are you going?
Going.
To a Jays game.
I will be. Yeah.
Me
I will
too.
Be. I will be. You'll be lucky. You'll get to go to a hot dog game and a bobblehead game.
Yeah, one of the two. Probably the bobblehead because we weren't really impressed with the hot dog game. Yeah. I thought it'd be a lot more... vendors that would have it, just not certain ones, and you miss a lot of the baseball game by standing in line for hot dogs.
And I get a measly Thursday afternoon game where they're marketing it as come work at the park.
I saw that.
Where they're literally letting people bring their laptops to the game so they can work.
No, that's
clever.
I mean, it's not the worst idea down there. There's a few people that live in Toronto that probably work down there.
Yeah.
But I will say as we were down there last year and seeing being downtown for the first time, I'm like, I kind of understand why there's a lot of suits at the Toronto Maple Leaf game because you're not going home to get your jersey and get your hat and get back down to the game.
It's all Bay Street.
Yep, you're leaving right from the office down to down. Who are you playing? Who are they playing?
I believe it's the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, so we both get divisional games.
Yeah,
you get the Rays, I get the Bo Sox. So kind of excited to see the new
renovations.
The new renovations, yeah.
Yeah.
The Taylor Swift renovations.
My taxes paid for.
That all your excellent.
All my sales paid for.
Sales paid for, yeah. including here. All right, producer Kyle saying Joey Votto.
I hope you know what that means. I would love if he actually got out of his minor league contract and made it to the Jays. I think that would be a huge moment if he could. You know, work his way out of the minor leagues and up to the big club.
How does he work his way out of the minor? Why is he doing in the minor leagues?
The Jays signed him to a minor league deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like if there's a guy that can work his way up to the league, it's going to be Joey Votto. He's pretty good at baseball.
Yeah. So I'm excited to follow that and see where that goes.
Nice. All right. Well, as always, don't forget you can follow us on the social medias, Twitter, Moncton Wildcast, Instagram, Wildcast Podcast, TikTok, Wildcast Podcast. And of course, don't forget, as you're watching here, click the like, smash the subscribe, and click the little bell so you don't miss any of our podcast post games, which absolutely took off last week. Like, I didn't think they would. Jack Hain interview, 630 likes. Our interview with Jonathan Henry, triple gold medalist at the Special Olympics.
That's right. Yep.
200 views. And then Caleb Denway, first overall pick, 150. So just goes to show you that
it's a popularity contest.
It's a popularity contest. And if you just click the right guy, their friends and family and everybody they know will share that. We'll share that video. So we got no voice question this week. So this one comes in from Paul Richard on Instagram. He wants to know in the playoffs if there's going to be any upsets, and if there are, what do we think they will be? So based on the standings right now, in the West, you've got Drummondville against Quebec, I will say. Rouyn-Noranda against Shawinigan, Victoriaville, Blainville, or Victoria. Ah, Gatineau, that's what it is. Hold on. All right, there we go. Drummondville versus Quebec, Rouyn versus Gatineau, Victoriaville versus Shawinigan, and Sherbrooke, Blainville.
In the West, I don't see any upsets. I think it's pretty clear as day that the four higher-seeded teams will advance the second round.
I will go with the standard 5-over-4 upset, Blainville over Sherbrooke. I think that one has the potential to be the upset of the Western Conference. Gatineau's playing really well. Victoriaville, they're going to beat whoever. Like, I know it's Shawinigan and Gatineau are 6 and 7, so either one of those teams could play Victoriaville. I don't think you're going to see a upset there.
No, not at all.
And I know Surge does Surge things in the playoffs, and he's, like we talked about with Yannick Jean, he's one of those veteran coaches that can
Mean Gene
work a game into his favor with home ice, but I don't think Gatineau's got it in them.
No.
Especially if they play Rouyn-Noranda, but I think Blainville has the ability to be that upset there. And then in the Eastern Conference, you got Baie-Comeau against Charlottetown, Halifax, Bathurst, Moncton, Cape Breton, and Rimouski, Chicoutimi. And again, Chicoutimi and Cape Breton and Rimouski are all kind of jockeying for 4, 5, and 6 positions. So
whoever plays Chicoutimi is effed.
Yeah,
they're screwed. Whoever plays Chicoutimi is screwed. Just book your tee times.
Yeah, that's probably get some heat for this, but I think it's Bathurst if they play Halifax. They have had their number this season. There's
a pretty good chance it's Halifax.
They've had their number this season, and just there's something with Halifax that's not right. We'll get into it in a little bit in the news. But I think that's a situation where that's maybe why you want to stay at the 3 seed, because if Halifax does get upset, we would take on – oh, crap, we'd take on Chicoutimi if they got past whoever. But we get that more favorable matchup in that second round, and it wouldn't be Halifax this time. So, yeah, so you're going Chicoutimi and I'm going Bathurst, I guess.
Yep. Those are the only two I can see. I mean,
yeah, we got 2 weeks.
I also think, you know, if Moncton plays Cape Breton, there could be a bit of a upset there as well, if you want to put it that way. I would so I think if Moncton wants to make it out of the first round, I think maybe Rimouski is your best bet, but I'm not sure if that's – well, I know it's mathematically possible, but it's – believe it or not, I think that might be their best matchup.
Yeah, I think if it's Moncton, Cape Breton, I think the upset there is if Moncton upsets themselves. Yeah. I think if they play the way they can, where they own the game and they play smart, I think they're okay. If they get into penalty trouble and too much passing and not enough – and the D zone goes to shit, then obviously it's going to be a short playoff spring there. So, and again, a few of these matchups can change. I know, like I said, Shawinigan and Gatineau is pretty much the only one in the Western Conference, as they're both at 56 points. Blainville at 62. They could catch them theoretically, and we don't have the schedules in front of us either. And then Moncton's only got a 4-point advantage on Rimouski, so they got to keep winning with a tough schedule coming up, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but you've got Chicoutimi, Cape Breton, and Rimouski all jangled up. So I don't think those are actually going to be the matchups. It'll be a very good 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's going to be some wiggle room. There's going to be some moving and grooving.
Yes, it's one of those situations where when you split them into conference standings, it's much better for playoff matchups because you kind of got these playoff races as we get down to the final couple weeks of the season. So again, Paul, thank you for your question. I know I did ask you if you wanted to voice it, and you went, no, thank you. I got one for you there, sir, bud. Can I ask a question on the show?
Sure.
All right. And I teased it with a funny voice that I was going to use, but I'm not going to. We got 4 goal scorers with 20 or more goals. I've got to bring the stats up here. And we got 4 that are just outside that 20-goal mark. Will they get to it? It's Lounsbury with 17, Denway 17, OJ 17, and Mercy at 16. Mm. We're going to have 8 20-goal scorers on this team by the end of the season.
I think Denoyer will get there. And OJ, depending on who he's playing with, because... I guess Mercier's been out sick. He's not injured, right? He's sick?
No, he's sick. It says sick or injured, but he's sick, I believe.
Okay. So I think Denoyer has a good shot at it, but at the same time, that line, Loesching's your trigger man, right?
Yep.
So he's the one scoring the majority of the goals, and Mercier and Denoyer. Mercier is doing the board battles, and you know Denoyer is more or less kind of your first assist guy. So I'd have to say... just based on Mercier kind of being the board guy, I would say Denoyer for sure. Lounsbury.
I think if they keep the MCL line together and the actual MCL line, I know they had Cormier up there once and someone's like, hey, it's the MCL line, just a different C. I think he's got a shot to get to 20 goals.
Yeah.
Because he plays that shorthanded role.
Man, and OJ has a quiet... 17 goals, did you say?
A quiet 17 goals, 19 assists, and a plus 26.
That's a quiet 17 goals. Yeah. I didn't think he had that many.
I think the reason why, too, is he's had 3 different injury types where he's been out for 3 or 4 weeks at a time, or 2 weeks at a time. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. Loesching 37, Collard 26, Mueller 26, and Sumpf at 20.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, Denoyer for sure. The other 3, I'm not too sure about.
Yeah. I think Lounsbury and Denoyer are my 2 that get to they get to 20, and then we just need one guy to score 1 goal this year, and everybody will have a goal that's played more than 10 games.
Ryan Hackett.
Yep. Ryan Hackett scores 1 or
feed him.
Ryan Hackett scores 1 or Collard scores 30. That's the that's the race. Collard to 30 or Hackett to 1.
Clinch third place and put Hackett on PP1.
Just clapping him from the point, just feed him on a platter and just clapping. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. All right, let's get some news and notes from around the queue.
News and notes from around the queue.
All right, and this ties into my potential upset in round 1. According to Aaron Portsline of The Athletic, Jordan Dumais was eyeing a return early March, is now eyeing a return game 1 of the playoffs. You want to talk about a guy on LTIR that just triggers me the wrong way with Vegas? Oh, wrong sport. Never mind. Yeah, we're good. Who's now eyeing a game 1 return? I think that's just why I maybe not quite sure on Halifax. You're bringing a big piece back in the playoffs. He slots right in. He's going to be fine, but they have that chemistry issue, and now you're putting him in game 1.
I still don't understand how he's playing again this year. Yeah. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I understand, he's probably setting his own timeline. Mm-hmm. I don't know what effect it's going to have on their lineup. I was talking to Johnny Rocket the other day. He said, if Dumais plays in the first round, Halifax will win that series in 2 games, which is true. But if he doesn't win... he thinks Bathurst will win in like 6 games.
Yeah.
So it's very, he's more like he's going to be the result of the series. How he performs in the series is going to set the tone of who wins, who comes out of that series. We'll set the tone.
And you're not stepping into a series where you're in a track meet.
Yeah.
You're stepping into a very physical team, and I don't know if it's just they're bringing their quote-unquote leader back to kind of be on the bench, but you're not going to put him on the bench and play limited minutes. Yeah. He's going to play his normal top-line minutes, PP1 minutes, and I don't know if it's a situation where game one as a full go and it hinders them the rest of the season or the rest of the series, right?
I wouldn't necessarily call him a leader if what made rumblings around on Twitter this past week was true. However, we're not going to get into that because we don't want allegations. We don't want to.
Nor do we know if it's true or not.
Yeah, we don't want to say stuff that's not true and it come back on us and then we're canceled by next week. So I think he's if he's Dume and he's playing the Dume way, I think it's an easy win out of that series for Bathurst. But, you know, if he's more or less not there, if he's not 100%, I think Bathurst has a chance at that series. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yep, absolutely. To go with our injury theme and our news and notes around the league, Stefan LaRue reports Tristan Leneau won't be playing in the queue this season. He will stay in Anaheim for the rest of the year, which also means now that fifth round selection at the draft will go back to Victoriaville, which, like I said before we started, was part of the ISN's deal. So the easiest clause out of all of this, we were trying to figure out if he plays this many games, it's this pick. Yeah. If he plays this many games, it's this pick. If he just plays, it doesn't matter anymore. You feel for the kid who had an excellent career in the queue and wanted one more kick at trying to win the championship and just hasn't been able to play hockey, and you just hope that. I mean, that's the difference in the two. Anaheim's being smart with their prospect, and it's completely different situations as well. It's like, nope, you don't need to go to the queue. You got nothing left to prove. You're going to stay up here and train and get better with NHL, whereas Columbus is like, you're good. You have a shot. Go down there and try and win a chance. It's just the difference in the two teams, which in the NHL are kind of mirror images of each other. They're both in early rebuilds.
Yeah, and I think Leneau was a little more serious than than what's actually been reported. I mean, nobody's really said what he has. And, you know, people are saying it's mono. Well, it's clearly a lot more than mono. There's, you know, it will eventually get out. Again, I'm not going to say what it is because at that point, it could be speculation that comes back against us, so I'm not going to say it, there is a reason as to why he's not playing.
What else we got here? William Rousseau is now set the record for the most shutouts in a year as he finished with he had his eighth this year against Schwinnigan with a 4-0 shutout against Schwinnigan.
Shutout, is that like Oscar Plankowski?
Plankowski, yeah. That's pretty much what it is. And obviously a very dangerous situation Sunday.
Saturday.
In Sydney, as really no one saw what happened. The puck dropped about 46 seconds in. The play was called as they had said somebody collapsed on the Sea Dogs bench. We found out near the end it was Travis Kirkert, who spent the night in hospital, has been released. Luckily everything's okay, but that game was 6-0 into the third period, and the smart decision is just cancel it because that was quite a scary situation.
That's again something that happened on my drive home, and all I know is I just remember Drew Bear sending me a message about it, and I didn't really get it till I got in the door. And once I did that, I just started reading everything on Twitter. But shout out to the medical staff in Sydney for, you know, making an uncomfortable situation for, you know, players and fans and everything kind of go smoothly, and you know, that he was in good hands from right off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to tweet QMJHL. I want to check the QMJHL to see if we have any Hall of Famers announced as of yet. The Hall of Fame was announced. I don't want QMJHL Trump. Hall of Fame was announced Monday on RDS. And we record this Monday, so I'm just trying to see if they have anything. Nope.
Nothing yet.
Nothing yet on the queue, which it's on RDS, so they might not even have it yet because they got to have the 40-minute lead up. Stefan LaRue, how do you spell his name? Because there's one thing that I love about Twitter, and that's when you search somebody, you get 17,000 of them other than the guy you're looking for. Do you have it there?
Nope.
He hasn't given it up yet?
Well, émission spéciale de Hockey 360 on announce le nouveau intronisé au temple de la renommée LHGMQ, ça débute à l'instant. Which basically means...
I think everyone knows what it means.
Starts now.
That's pretty much what I was going to say. I was like, it starts now. So there will be Hall of Fame announcements by the time you hear this. So congratulations to all the Hall of Famers. QMJHL Team of the Week. Another week, you play the Moncton Wildcats, although this week it was more the St. John Sea Dogs.
Yes, very much so.
But hey, we played them, and they got on to the Team of the Week. Cam Squires had 3 goals and 5 assists in 3 games. Jacob Newcomb had 5 goals, 2 assists in those 3 games. Israel Minsticum of Sherbrooke had 3 goals, 4 assists in the 3 games. Thomas Sobolka of Cape Breton, 8 assists in the 3 games. Charlie Truchon from Rimouski, 3 assists. Huh, funny, both defensemen had 0 goals in the 2 games for Truchon. And Louis-Antoine Deneau, the 8'7" goaltender from Quebec, went 2-0 with a .950 save percentage and a 1.39 goals against average. Your player of the week was Jacob Newcomb.
So good for him.
Obviously coming back and, like you said, at the trade deadline, making an impact.
Yeah, for sure. Hall of Fame, Patrice Bergeron is the first name. And Alexander Degg, Ottawa Senators.
These are my shock faces so far.
Legend. Yeah, very much.
Have you seen the Alexander Degg on Prime?
No.
The documentary?
No.
What's it called? It's like the golden one or something. Alexander Degg.
Never heard of it. Never saw it.
Oh, it's very... The Chosen One, Alexander Degg on Prime. It's about 48 minutes, and it's really good on how he was great for Victoriaville. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it was Ottawa and I think San Jose that were kind of playing for the tank that Gary Bettman doesn't think happens. and end up getting picked in Ottawa, and just so much pressure being the French kid in Ottawa.
Yep.
And he went over to Europe, had some success in the Spengler Cup, and it was actually a really good documentary. It's on Prime for hashtag not a sponsor for any of those that want to go watch it. So
nice, good know that. Thank you.
Also, by the way, I want to give you a shout out with the Jordan Dumais thing. I went back and watched our shows early on the year where we were picking MVPs, and you said, "I don't think Jordan Dumais is going to play all year." I mean, you also did mention more to the World Juniors, but you did say you'd be shocked if he plays a lot of the year. So
saw it coming.
Yeah, no, he's...
I knew he had broken hips. His hips don't lie.
There it is. Oh, let's talk about our team.
Weekly Rewind.
All right, the Wildcats go 2-1 on the week, bringing the record to 35-24-3 for 78 points on the season. Still second in the Maritime Division. Now unlikely to catch Halifax for that number one spot and holding in third in the conference, which will be a playoff series against Cape Breton, which is flip-flopped over the weekend. Fun fact, if we end up playing Cape Breton, we've played them once, and I don't have my note with me. We played them once, I think, in 2010, and we beat them in round one, 4-1. And if we play Chicoutimi, we've played them twice.
Oh, what a series that was.
What did I say? 98. It was a 4-1 series. And what was the other one?
2015.
2015, it was a 4-2, I think, wasn't it?
4-1. I think you said 4-1. In 2015?
Yeah.
Get Chicoutimi? Yeah, 4-2 in 98, 4-1 in 2015.
And which series did you say was closer?
I thought the 2015 series was a lot closer than 4-1. I remember watching those games and just biting my nails because they were very, very, very tight.
Fun to go back as someone who didn't watch all that and click on the rosters and be like, oh, yeah, that guy played there. Oh, that guy played. Mm-hmm. And it's the best when it's in French and you translate it to English. And Rimouski had Elliot the Italian.
Oh, yes.
That's what it's. I was like, what the? kind of name is the Italian? I was like, oh, I translated from l'Italien to the Italian. I was like, that's awesome. all right, so Wednesday had the makings of a bit of a trap game. The Wildcats took care of business early. They dominated a lot of the play. I think they were outshot them like 11-2, which has been a theme of the Sea Dogs down the down to the end of the season here. They took the lead, got a 6-1 victory over the Sea Dogs, and we also got two goals from some unlikely names in Sean Carrier with the first one and Sebastian Glass with a snipe and perfect.
You think Sean Carrier is unlikely?
The way he plays fourth line minutes and makes one mistake and doesn't get to play again. Yeah, that's what I mean by unlikely, because he showed what he can
do. Nice goal, too.
Going through three guys and going bar down. Yeah, no, that's what I meant.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, that's just scoring by committee. You know, everybody contributing, all lines fourth of firing. Yeah. You know, it felt great.
Banging bodies, absolutely. Pucks in deep, making turnovers. Yeah, the sump turnover on Saturday was eerily similar to the Sebastian Glass. They just played it right to him, and he's standing in the slot like, all right, I guess I'll just fire this one, and in it goes.
It's nice to see other teams turning the puck over right onto our stick.
Yeah.
You know, it's a refreshing change to see, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it truly is. We also had another week, another suspension, as Gabe Smith got suspended for fighting.
Nothing wrong with that.
Huh?
Nope. Nothing wrong with that.
Nope, and like I said on the post game, at some point he was gonna have to go, and Mateo Mann probably wasn't his first selection to go against, but good on Gabe for stepping in and staying in that fight. He's suspended for two games based on that fight, because the score was the last 5 minutes, and there was more than a two-goal lead on that one. But this was a game that Moncton took control of the whole time, didn't even have to worry. We had Lotion back. Good to see that top line kind of firing back on that one. Then we went into a very tough weekend. Stop if you heard this before. The Wildcats, the Islanders, went to overtime in a close, tight, checking game.
Yeah.
Like,
Halden hockey.
What did you say last week? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But hey, the Wildcats came back from a two-goal deficit this time instead of giving up a two-goal deficit, which has happened a couple times against the Islanders. And like I messaged you, the reason they won this game was Miles Mueller scoring at 1.6 seconds on the clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Those late goals are, whether they're against you or for you, are absolute game changers. They're momentum breakers. They'll do everything to change the dynamic of a game. And that's exactly what happened here. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I think we could have won this game in regulation. A bit of a, you know, unfortunate penalty there with a couple minutes left, and which was a double minor. And, you know, good thing that Charlottetown didn't score in the initial 2 minutes, because they, again, would have been on the power play.
Yep.
You know, it's they scored when they at a good time in the final 2 minutes of that 4 minute. And, you know, it was that overtime was exciting. You made the joke, Adam, about and I kind of agree with you. Seeing the Wildcats on a 3-on-1, and you weren't exactly sure if they'd even hit the net.
I was worried. I said to
happened Layla, a couple times this year.
I said to Layla after, I was like, "Put your hands up if you thought they were going to go 3-on-1 and the puck was going to bobble off a stick."
Yeah, that was. I saw. I was like, "Oh, please don't have this. Is perfect." But no, it's,
and especially when it went from Loesching to Denoyer, and then back to Loesching and a Craw. Like, it was like almost too many passes.
It was bound, but that defenseman was just swimming.
Yeah.
So they took advantage of a 3-on-1, and they made the most of it, and it was good to see. And I don't know who they were acknowledging in the crowd.
Must have been a few fans
or
Forte Gendron remembered when Kiersey did it to us.
Oh,
when he scored in overtime and gave the crowd kisses.
Okay.
Maybe that's what he was doing, was acknowledging the you did that it to us in our barn. I'm going to do it to you guys in your barn.
Yeah, yeah, I never thought of that.
That just hit me now when you asked what he was acknowledging. And again, another excellent game from Keegan Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Two goals on 12 shots in the first period.
Settled down.
Yeah, he settled down, made some big stops. And at one point I was like, we're going to need a save here.
Yeah.
Like, the Islanders just kind of kept coming, and I'm like, we're going to need a save. And he decided to just give us saves up until the end of the game. And the Horth goal wasn't his fault, bouncing puck. I don't even think it got across the net. I think it bounced off somebody and went kind of up and over his shoulder. But if the Islanders were playing anybody but Bacomo, I feel like they would be one of the upset teams.
Yeah, they could challenge her an upset for sure. It's just it's Halton hockey.
Yeah, you know, it won't be a sweep, I'll tell you that.
No, I think they'll pull out a win, and all they gotta do is watch the tape of Shikudimi's two wins over Makomo over the weekend to see what are they doing. What did they do to accomplish those you know, beating the number one team in Canada? Not once, but twice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And not even close games.
No.
Not even close games. Like, I think one of them was 4-1. The other one was, that's why I just don't want to play Shikudimi. You know, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
But no, I was
5-3 and 4-1.
Yeah.
Back to back nights.
Yeah. And speaking of back to back nights, it wasn't even back to back night. It was, what? I don't know who makes this. Like, I'm not going to, I know we're not here to make excuses. But you got to take time change into consideration when you're making this schedule, because A, you play in Charlottetown. By the time your bags are packed and the bus is on the road, it's probably 10, 10:15, 10:30.
Yeah.
And there's no ferry that late at night. So you've got to cross a bridge, go to Aulac, go, and then circle, basically just do a U.
Yep.
To get down to Halifax. That's a 5-hour trip. They probably got into Halifax at 2 o'clock in the morning, a.k.a. 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the time they settle at the hotel and get to bed, it's probably 4. Then you got to play at 3?
Yeah.
It's that was not good schedule making.
And it's not even Moncton.
Yeah.
Charlottetown has to load the bus by 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
Head to Aulac or head to Moncton and up to Bathurst
to play
at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
But does Charlottetown, they didn't leave that night. They would have left early in the morning, so they would have been able to sleep in their own beds
and
get a decent night's sleep and then hit the road at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
If they did that, they might have gone.
Very possible, but still.
Up there, but both teams end up losing with that quirk in the schedule of playing at 7-3.
Yeah.
Bathurst wins 5-2 and Moncton wins 3 or Halifax wins 3-1. I was actually shocked that they went to Halifax that night. Mm-hmm. I thought they might stay in Charlottetown, load the bus, stay in Charlottetown, get a good night's sleep in a hotel bed.
Yeah.
And then get up at 10 a.m. and hit the road to Halifax because the family day weekend, they went to Halifax that day, that Sunday. They left here early in the day. So I kind of was thinking that they might do that.
Yeah, that was
a little bit of a schedule quirk.
Yeah, that's something maybe might want to look into tweaking next year. You know, kind of. Hey, like I said, I'm going to vote for whichever political party promises to eliminate daylight savings time.
Yep.
However, keep the clock going back one. I'm good with that. I like getting an extra hour of sleep.
Oh, so you're in favor of that.
I don't like losing an hour of sleep.
How does Avery handle that?
I think she's still tired. I'm still tired. It's so tough. Like it's especially for kids, you know, it's like Sunday night we had supper at 4 o'clock because we were like, we'll get this wrong. What time do you have supper at?
5 o'clock, which would have been 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Body time.
Yeah. And I was like, holy crap, it's 4 o'clock. Really, it's 5, but we're eating. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Why would you?
Especially coming off the, and we are going to talk about the hockey game here in a minute, but especially coming off March break.
Yeah.
Like the kids haven't had a regular bedtime. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, by the way, your body clock's off and you got to go to bed to go to school tomorrow.
Exactly.
So good times.
Wasn't not a fan.
No, absolutely. But better now in the regular season than trying to jam that in the playoffs. But and like I said, I think the shot of a division crown went out the window. They had to run the month perfect and get some help from Halifax losing some games. They started that. They were 3-0 in the month of March. But this one basically boiled down to Moncton not taking sticks in front of the net. And it's not a problem, But if you go back and watch that hockey game, when anybody is in front of the net in Moncton, they're taking some punishment and their stick is being
tied up.
Tied up right away. And just to go back to think, how many goals have we just tapped in?
Mm-hmm.
A la Catafor and whoever else scored.
Denis or whatever. Yeah.
You know, Spreiner. Someone said that Hyman in Edmonton has scored as many goals. If you put them all together, the distance, it doesn't even get to the blue line because all of his goals have been standing on the top of the dirt.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time the Wildcats had kind of those easy tap-ins.
Mm-hmm.
They may have one here or there, but multiple easy tap-ins, and that's what this game boiled down to, is just too easy in front of the net for Halifax.
Well, that's it. You know, both all three goals were, you know, cross ice or cross crease passes.
Yeah.
You know, the sticks were there, but they were a half a second too late.
Yeah.
You know, it was. It's just the game of inches. And no, I think it's, other than that, I think it was a pretty good game, and that Moncton had their chances. I think Russo wanted to kind of make up for his, you know, lack of performances against Moncton lately, and he did that. I mean, we outshot them, I think. No, Moncton came on in the third period. There was a couple instances where I thought, you know, they in the final few minutes, I was like, they're gonna get one. If they get one, they might get another one. But no, Russo shut the door, and that kind of pretty much sealed any chance of catching them in the standings. But at the end of the day, that's one prediction of mine that not gonna get right.
Nope, closer this year than last year.
Though. Yeah, much closer this
much
year.
Much closer. Halifax. With one more win and one more Wildcats loss, will clinch the division. Again, the wheels have to completely fall off for Halifax, and they have a decently easy schedule. Moncton's schedule coming down is a pretty tough one, but I think this game too, coming up this Saturday against Halifax, this is a must-win game. You need to prove that you can beat this team
on home
in
ice.
Your home building.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're catching them in the second round, you have to prove that you can beat them on home ice because they beat us every time on home ice, and they just showed that they can beat us in their barn. This now has to be a situation where you have to beat them on home ice.
Yeah, it would be nice to beat them given how many times they've come into the Avenir Center and beat the Wildcats. It'd be a nice change if we could finally get a W against them and maybe build a little bit of confidence. I mean, we already have confidence against them this season, but home ice confidence, you know, going into what could very well be, you know, a second round matchup if all things, you know, if the dominoes all fall in place.
Yeah, and the other story in the game was power play. Halifax was 2 for 3. Yep. We were 1 for 2. Who doesn't love stats? Everybody loves stats, guy. This team at a 29.7 clip on the power play is the best power play they've had in 10 years.
That's crazy.
I'm not going to go through all the numbers, but basically they were averaging between 22 to 19 all the way back to the 2013-2014 season, including the 2019-20 season was 22.5% with all the firepower we had on that.
Huh.
I'm guessing everybody can guess what the worst year was. The year we wouldn't have had a podcast.
Yeah. It would definitely would not have been a podcast. 13%?
13%.
In 2016, 2017? That's freaking awful.
I don't even know how you do that. Like, even Quebec, who has like a depleted roster right now, was 16.7 overall power play.
Who's last in power play right now?
Quebec, 16.7.
Wow. Valdor is better than them?
Yeah, Valdor is at 20%.
Holy.
Yeah. Yeah, Valdor 15% or 15th at 16.8 on the road, and at home they're at 23%. But you go back to the championship seasons, so Moncton's at 29.2 right now, 27% in the 2009-2010 season, and 05-06, 23.7% was the power play number. So the reason I bring those up is that's what's going to come down to in the playoffs is... Mm-hmm. When you get that power play, you have to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And this whole weekend, as we get into the preview, is all about setting the tone. You got six games left on the season, four of those at home, so a real chance to set the tone with some home runs, home wins, as we hashtag march to the playoffs. All three games are potential playoff matchups. Two against Cape Breton, one against Halifax. Mm-hmm. You have to show, now we beat Cape Breton at home last time.
Do it again.
Do it again. Do it a third time. You have to show that when they come into the barn, if they come in round one, it's not going to be an easy two games where they're going to steal them. And we just talked about what you have to do to Halifax. This is a crucial three-game set at home.
It's, I think you got to come out with it with two out of these three, to solidify third place, but I think two out of the three will be extremely positive going into your following three games against, you know, a couple against Bathurst and I think one against St. John, if I'm not mistaken. So I think the sooner you can clinch third place, the sooner you can start resting some guys. You know, if you can give, you know, the last two games of the season, give both of them to Keegan Warren, would be extremely beneficial to Jacob Steinman going into the playoffs. You know, if you can sit, you know, a Loshing and these guys before the playoffs, I think it would be huge for, you know, the stamina level and the
especially when you got back to back and you want to avoid injuries, because the last couple of years Moncton has not had a full healthy roster going into the playoffs. Speaking of the Halifax game, producer Kyle just figured it out. The last time do you want to venture the last time we beat Halifax at home? I'll give you a hint. It's within the past two seasons.
The last time we beat Halifax at home.
Yeah.
It wasn't this season, was it?
Nope,
can't.
November 27th, 2022.
Wow.
So, yeah. Wow. So you 100%. I don't, Mr. Irving, if you're listening to this, or RJ Irving, if you're listening to this, or somebody with connections, on Friday, get these kids a hotel.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Like, I don't care. Put them in a hotel in Salisbury. Don't care. Give them a chance to get on the bus and get into the rink and make it feel like a road game. Is that smart to do all the time? No. But you need to beat Halifax at home this weekend. You have to set the tone, because I didn't even think it was that bad. I thought we at least
beat
them.
I knew it was a long time away.
Yeah.
Long time
ago. I thought
it
was at least 2023.
I didn't think it was that. I didn't think it was. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. That's a month and a half. That's a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Even in Halifax, even in the playoffs, we beat them in Halifax.
Yeah, like that's wild.
It's just, yeah, you need to lock up. Two out of three locks up first, because then I think you can go Warren on Wednesday. You can play Steinman on the road on Saturday and give him a full week off. If you give him more than that, But you give him that full week from Friday to Friday. It's kind of a standard that he's had sometimes. He plays on a Saturday. Keegan will play on a Sunday, and then he doesn't play again until Saturday. That gets him in his regular routine. But this allows you to, like you said, play some guys, bring some guys up that are going to be possibly eliminated from the MHL, the U18s, bring a couple bodies up, and just give a guy a night off, especially with a back-to-back where we can't avoid injuries. I know we've had some. I mean, Aspro in 2018, 2019 was a big piece. Obviously, Sear has been out back then. Like, I'm just talking since I've been here and how we haven't been completely 100% healthy. And generally not every team is as you get into this, but it just feels like Moncton has always had a key piece being injured. And I don't know if
going
that's
into playoffs. Yeah,
going into the playoffs.
You're right. Like, that's what I mean. You got to win, I think, two out of these three. And then, you know, next week against, you know, the two against Bathurst, the one against St. John, just take care of business. And I think that's going to be the message. Take care of business. Yeah. Don't worry about the other teams chasing you. Take care of your own business. And that's how you go into the playoffs on a high note.
Yep. So you, goaltending wise, you're going to go Warren and then Steinman back to back? Or what do you think they should, when you got Cape Breton? You got 3 and 4. I mean, I think I'd go with Warren. He's earned it against Cape Breton. Allows you to play Steinman against Halifax. And then depending how that kind of goes. You can ghost Diamond back to back if you need to, or right. Like I think you gotta split them. I think you gotta let Warren play against Cape Breton, and then let Diamond go against Halifax.
I wouldn't be surprised if Diamond gets all three.
Yeah,
and that's what I mean. Then you have all next week to hopefully give them a rest.
Yeah,
you know they're crucial points, and you know you don't want to fall out of home ice.
No,
you know. You don't want that to happen. You want home ice for sure in the first round. And I think you got to take care of your own business. And I think you got to put your aces in their places to pick up the big wins against the big teams.
Because Rimouski has Chicoutimi on Wednesday, so tonight. And then they've got Sherbrooke on Friday. And Drummondville on Saturday. So a bit of help in the schedule with Rimouski. Chicoutimi has...
Rimouski.
I think they have a tough one. Quebec, so that seems like it'd be 2 points, but anything can happen. And then they got Victoriaville on Sunday. So as much as our schedule is tough, Chicoutimi, Rimouski, who's chasing us, is just as tough. So you got to make sure you take care of your business, which is what you said after the game against the Islanders. Is we need those 2 points because Rimouski, Chicoutimi, and Cape Breton all won behind us.
Yeah, and that's what was so huge about it. And I think by the time the game, by the time the third period started, they knew the result of that game.
Yeah,
right. So that's why I think they're like, hey, we gotta close this one down. We gotta get it, and you know they went out and got it. So good for them.
Yep, and. I mean, Cape Breton's only 6 points behind us, so you need to make sure.
And we get one game. So that's a 4-point game right there.
Yep. Yeah. These are big games. So we're gonna
If we can beat Cape Breton on Thursday, I think we're good.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about them passing us.
Yeah.
But you know, if there's a loss in regulation, then things start to get a little tight.
Yeah. They've been better at home as of late. Mm-hmm. They're getting better. They're 16-9 at home, but now it's time to show. This is our rink. This is our home. Mm-hmm. We got to defend home ice here. Defend the den. We got to defend home ice here this week to set the tone for the playoffs. You ready for everyone's favorite part of the show?
Yes, I always am.
Eric Murray, realtor, buy your house from him. Stick tap of the week.
All right, so the stick tap of the week, obviously we are Wildcats fans first, but we are Moncton Flyers fans second, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Yep.
But I do want to give the stick tap of the week to the Northern Moose, who will be facing the Flyers in the New Brunswick U18 AAA Championship. And you might ask, why the Northern Moose, Jeremy?
Why the Northern Moose, Jeremy? Why would they get a stick tap? Don't they always get to the finals?
No. As a matter of fact, they do not. This is actually the first time that a team... other than St. John and Fredericton, face the Moncton Flyers in the finals for the New Brunswick Championship. The last time a team other than either Moncton, St. John, or Fredericton won the New Brunswick Championship, with the exception of the Charlottetown team, because I think at 1 year they put everything, all the six teams together, was in 2010.
That was an odd way to get into the
2010, the Miramichi Rivermen won the New Brunswick Championship. A team that had the likes of Brett Malone, who was a Wildcats alumni, Trey Lewis.
Halifax, wasn't he? He's captain, wasn't he?
Not to be confused with country music singer Trey Lewis, who has a song called Dicks Down in Dallas. Not the same guy.
Yeah, okay.
Name spelled the same way.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Not the same person.
I feel like there's only one way to spell Trey Lewis.
Yeah. And Tyrone Sock, who played with the Sea Dogs.
Oh, okay.
So those three guys were won the championship with the Rivermen in 2010. Now, obviously, we are cheering for the Flyers to win this.
Yes.
But a small part of me, very small part.
Wait a minute. 2010. Wait a minute.
Small part of me will be cheering for the Northern Moose.
What? Why?
Because what else happened in 2010, Adam?
From Alberta, I watched The Moncton Wildcats in the Memorial Cup take on the Calgary Hitmen.
That's right. Jeez, can you think there's a coincidence there? The last time a team other than the Moncton Flyers or the St. John Vitos or the Fredericton, whoever the hell they were called.
Caps. Whatever.
Capitals.
Yep.
Won a championship. Was the last year the Wildcats won a championship?
Huh.
Hmm.
Wait a minute. Didn't you pick Moncton to get to the final too?
Imagine.
Huh.
So go Flyers,
but also
go Moose, not Mooseheads, Northern Moose.
Northern Moose.
That's right. So Stick
Tap. The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored.
Sorry, Layla. Did we cut you off there? Yeah. You're a little trigger happy.
Yeah, I did.
Go Sports.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the Remax Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
Go Sports. And that brings us to the Wildcast Wildcat of the Week, presented by Rosemary Lynn Massage and Spa. We're right now till March 23rd. Get a shellac pedicure or a shellac manicure for only $65 as well. Don't forget they've got the loyalty card. Book 9 spa services. Get one free. If you want to take advantage of this in the month of March, you have to call 506-830-1224 or visit them in person at 1224 Mountain Road. As well, when you book in the month of March, you have a chance to win a $100 gift card.
Woo!
This goes to a defenseman who scored his first goal since January 20. No.
Okay.
Pretty close. It would have gone to him if he scored his first goal. Got his first fight, though. January 28th, so he basically went the whole month of February without scoring a goal. We kind of wondered what was wrong with him. So it was a good set of three games for him to get his mojo back. He had two goals and an assist in those games, which is what we need in this final 2 weeks of the season. He's back on the power play as a power play quarterback. I don't know if that correlates to his points that he had, but as I said earlier, this guy has been a catalyst for the past 2 years, and getting him going in the final month of the season is a perfect time for that. The Wildcats Wildcat of the Week is number 5, Etienne Morin. Speaking of playoffs.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you got more? All right.
So the five nominees or inductees?
Inductees.
So we mentioned Patrice Bergeron.
Shocker.
Alexander Daigle.
Shocker.
Maxime Talbot.
Wow.
And then Reginald Savage, who passed away a few months ago. I believe the plan was to induct him anyways.
Yeah.
And Commissioner Gilles Courteau.
Shocker. That's pretty good. Fun fact, I know everyone, well, except for Savage, I know 4 out of the 5 in the Hall of Fame this year. I know more about their NHL careers than their Q careers, but I know all of the players and the commissioner that are going in. It's crazy now as Hall of Fames get going in sports. We're at the age where the players going into the Hall of Fame are players we know, players we've seen. Especially in the NFL.
People that are our age.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, Bergeron's our age. Players in the NFL, they're like, this player. I'm like, oh, I know that guy. That guy wasn't very good. That guy shouldn't be a Hall. Like, I actually have an opinion instead of, like, players in the 60s and 70s where I'm like, I don't know. Sure. That sounds good. But also, playoff-wise, bit of a surprise in the Nova Scotia League, sir.
Ooh, yeah.
We had back-to-back interviews with Schlender talking. You asked him about the TELUS Cup and getting to Atlantics. Anything less than that was a bust for them. And then I interviewed Jack Hayne and asked about playing against the Halifax Max and what they needed to do. And what he said is what they've done.
Yeah. So, there's a couple. The Cape Breton West Islanders, or the Colonels, as Marty Kingston would call them, were the 6th seed going in that series, going up against the Halifax Max, first number 1 seed, and the Islanders went into Halifax over the weekend and took the first 2 games of a best of 5.
Yeah.
So that's that was definitely a bit of a shocker.
Back-to-back first stars from Ryan Stewart.
Ryan Stewart. So you're we're regardless of the outcome of that series, we'll have a call up for the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
And whether it be Jack Hayne or Easton Schlender, that's just assuming, because who doesn't like more bodies around for the playoffs? Yeah. But yeah, definitely a shocker.
Yeah, I thought.
Big surprise.
You and everyone else, I think, is surprised. Things that don't generally happen in the Nova or the New Brunswick League, bit of a surprise in the Nova Scotia League, which is maybe why teams in Charlottetown and on the island should also play teams that they play all season. They should play them in the playoffs, so you have maybe some of these fun matchups. The Fan Bus, the update for March 22nd. 12 seats left, people. You want to be in a bus with Jeremy and I? It's your chance. 12 seats are left. They will have a seat at the game this Thursday against Cape Breton. If they sell it out there, they probably won't on the weekend, but if they need some more seats, they will probably have more tables on the weekend. But again, 12 seats left, March 22nd. It leaves at $355. You only have to put a $25 deposit down, although I think it's got to be paid by the 17th, so you might as well just pay $55. Free bus ride to Bathurst and a ticket to the hockey game. If we get a full bus, we might have more fans than Bathurst will. Sorry, Johnny. As well, we are doing a ticket giveaway. We're doing the same giveaway that we did last time, just a little bit different teams. We've partnered with our friends Kelsey's for a $50 food voucher, and we've partnered with the Wildcats to get four tickets to the final regular season home game.
Yeah. What a rush.
Oh, I watched WrestleMania 8 last night, actually, and that was fun. We partnered with the Wildcats and Kelsey's. They're giving us four tickets to the final regular season game against Bathurst. So same contest, same concept. Go to our Instagram, like, share. You must be following both us and Kelsey's as well. Share it on your story, tagging both of us for two bonus entries, and comment the three friends you'd want to bring for a bonus entry. Contest ends March 20th. So we had 300 and some last time, so I'm expecting the same, pretty much the same. Don't forget tomorrow. Ted Nolan is in town. He's a pretty good coach, wasn't he?
He's all right.
Yeah, he's all right. Okay, cool. He's in town against Cape Breton. And don't forget, you can use the code Nolan on Ticketmaster to get tickets for $14.70.
For those at home, spelling Nolan.
Yeah.
I can also say that using the code Irving will also work.
Yes, it'll get you $6 off.
So Nolan or Irving?
Yeah. Not both.
Don't put them both, because that's not going to get $12 off. Nolan or Irving. And again, for those scoring at home, that's IRVING, Irving.
We are this close to getting spelling with Jeremy.
Put me one of those spelling bee competitions.
Yeah. Use that in a sentence. What is the origin of the word, please?
Jeremy, your word is higgledy pickledy. It's H-I-G-G-L-E-D-Y hyphen P-I-G-G-L-E-D-Y. Correct.
I was like, how long is this going to go? He's going to be like, what is the origin of the word? Can you please use the word in a sentence?
Are there any alternative pronunciations?
Yeah. Have you ever watched that stuff?
Big spelling bee guy.
It is crazy to watch that. And then every time they get it wrong, I'm like, ha, loser. But I don't yell that at children.
No.
Just kidding. Edit that part out. So tickets, you can win. I wonder if tickets were $14.70 back when Ted Nolan coached. The 2010s-ish.
Well, it's pretty
probably
close.
Roughly about that.
Pretty close, yeah.
And the 17th is the annual St. Patrick's Day game with the green jerseys. They will probably promote that more than the other theme they just had. There's a silent auction for the jerseys as well as the green jerseys. So get your tickets for that one on Sunday as well. It's a big weekend. Let's fill the barn for Jeremy. I'm Adam. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.